This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. This week is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, the time that we of Israel must repent of our sins, because Judgment Day is coming, Yom Kippur. And that's why I've asked my friend, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, the spiritual leader of Beth Israel Messianic Jewish Congregation in Garfield, New Jersey. God has given him supernaturally evidence from the scriptures of how serious 9/11 was. Jonathan, if you would begin.
We've looked at the pattern of judgment. We looked at the signs that God gives a nation when there was impending judgment upon it, and when he's given the call to come back to him or completely go away. Now, I want to take it into a different direction. Solomon dedicated the Temple of Jerusalem, and he prayed with leaders, he interceded, and he spoke about future times when the nation would depart from God, but if they would come back to him, God would have mercy. He went through the whole thing. It was the dedication of Israel when it was completely finished. It had the temple, had everything there. Special day. Now, there is a principle, another principle to understand, and that is when judgment comes, it will come to the ground where the nation has been dedicated, or dedicated to God. That happened with Israel. Judgment ultimately came to the temple. The ultimate sign of the judgment of God was that the temple was destroyed. Now, America was born not on July 4th, like most people think. That was when it was independent, but really when it became a fully constituted nation, it was a few years later. It was April 30th, 1789. That's the day when we had a government, we had a Senate, House of Representatives, we had a president, George Washington. It's when he was inaugurated. He was inaugurated, and so he, in the same way, there was a call to dedicate America. There was a call that day for prayer. And Washington gave his speech, the first ever presidential speech, and in it he gave a warning. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, no nation can expect the favor of God, the smiles of heaven, or God to have favor on it, if it turns away from God's ways. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. He gave a warning that if America ever turns away from God, the favor from God will be lifted up. Then he took all the leaders there, that was the House of Representatives, the Senate, all of them together, went on foot from the place of the inaugural. They went to a little church, a little chapel, and they spent 2 hours dedicating America in prayer to God, consecrating America. That is America's consecration ground. Now, where did it happen? Where did that happen? Where was America dedicated to God? Where did it begin? Well, the capital then was not Washington, D.C., and it wasn't Philadelphia. It was New York City. Washington took his oath. The government began. America began in New York City. And Washington then led them across to a place called, it was a little chapel, which is St. Paul's, which is standing today. And that place is the corner of Ground Zero. America was dedicated to God at the corner of Ground Zero. The church yard goes right there. It's one of the things that touches Ground Zero. And that is the pattern of judgment, is when judgment comes, it touches the place where the nation had been dedicated, where it made its covenant. And in this case, the warning of Washington that was given was fulfilled in the very place where they knelt and prayed and dedicated America to God. Now, there's more. We all know the seal of America is this eagle, and if the eagle holds arrows in one hand and an olive branch in the other, and has a shield in front of it, it's the seal of America, a symbol of America's power and might and protection. Well, most people don't realize where that original one is kept. It's not in the White House. It's not in the Pentagon. It appears all across the world, but where it has been kept since the days of America's beginning is in that little chapel. It was always kept at the corner of Ground Zero. And so when 9/11 came and the smokes and devastation just came over New York, and it engulfed the chapel where America was dedicated, and in it was that eagle. And in it also on the walls is a plaque that is George Washington's prayer, where he starts off saying, "Lord God, keep America in your perfect protection." It was a prayer for protection on the nation. And so here is where this thing was fulfilled. Yet that same day that America began as a nation, he gave the warning. Well, the interesting thing is that all around 9/11, all around the Ground Zero, every building, it was in some way shattered. Some of them had to be taken down. They were burnt out. There, every single, except for one. There was only one building which was not damaged.
Which one was that?
That was the chapel where America was dedicated to God.
Hmm.
He kept it. It was called the miracle of 9/11. He kept that one building on, and you know how they believe how this was protected. Is that when that beam that was coming down from the tower was coming across, it would have smashed the church, but it was stopped by a sycamore tree, which is a sign of judgment on one hand, mercy on the other. That sycamore tree, the sign of judgment, was what saved the church, and it was growing in the backyard of America's consecration ground. The sign of judgment, the sycamore tree falling, and the cedar tree that was put in its place, or the Erez tree, that signs of judgment we talked about before, all happened on America's consecration ground. It happened in the cemetery in back of the chapel. And so it's a profound thing, because we were talking about this before. It's judgment on one hand, but mercy on the other. Through judgment can come salvation, and that is the heart of God. God doesn't want to judge America, but we are at that point where it's unavoidable unless we turn back. In fact, judgment is often the very harbinger, like in the days of Jonah, not just of bad things, but of revival. The very thing we don't want is the very thing that can save us. And so when Solomon dedicated the temple and he prayed for what would happen in future days, he gave a prophetic word like George Washington did on the day of America's dedication. That's where you get that famous verse, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face and pray, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land, I'll restore them." So the real thrust of all this, and especially on Rosh Hashanah as we get ready, and you and I know, Sid, this is the days of getting ready to be right with God, right with man. God is now sending this message to the nation, and the keepers of the nation are not the president, or, well, you know, in a sense, but really the real keepers is not the government. The keepers are his people, the priests of this land. We need to get our act together. We need to be living in the Spirit. We need to be living not by the flesh. We need to repent ourselves. And then God will have mercy in our land. That revival that we pray for all the time can happen, but it may happen through judgment.
If you were to give me your spiritual intuitive sense, do you see both occurring at the same time?
Yes, Sid. There are those who speak of, you know, who speak of just revival and great, everything will be great. America's just going to be blessed, and not if it's going the way it's going. And there are those who only might speak of judgment. I believe that there will be both. What we saw, and you described it as the wonder that followed the 30 days, that was just a shadow. Just like 9/11 was a shadow of judgment on a limited scale, so that whatever we saw, that thing we never saw before, was a shadow of revival. Judgment, I don't believe it's going to be judgment or revival. I believe I don't believe we're going to repent or have revival without judgment, but I don't believe it's just going to be judgment. It's judgment producing revival.
And, you know, one of the things that I find so amazing is I've interviewed John McTernan, and I had him do a special update for the CD we'll be offering at the end of the entire teaching that you're doing on this particular subject. Is he has documented that there are 40 natural disasters that have hit America all because of America's anti-Israel stance. He shows where we've had stock market crashes because of anti-Israel stances, and 9/11 was due to the anti-Israel stance, and the two worst natural disasters in history, Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Andrew, both had to do with anti-Israel stances. And then I have my friend John Mark Poole, who is as accurate a prophet as you'll ever hear. He actually, on the air while I was interviewing him, he prophesied way before the event. He saw New Orleans underwater, and he has, on this special CD, he's telling people what God has shown him. He has never previously published this information about what is going to happen shortly to Washington, D.C. It will be during the time of President Bush, so we know the timing of it. He has seen what's going to happen to California, what is going to happen again to New Orleans, the future of the United States, what's going to happen to our economy, the stock market, and amazing things about Israel, about what is the future of Israel and what's going to be happening very shortly in reference to dividing up the land, and even to the point of new forms of energy. But this being Rosh Hashanah, what does this tell us to do, Jonathan?
This tells us to repent and to pray, to seek God, to pray and intercede for our land. This tells us to live in light of eternity. This tells us the days are short, and we need to live an all-out, on fire, completely dedicated to God. That's the only safe place to be, is in God's will. We need to get into God's will as believers. We need to take it seriously, and we need to repent.
Okay, Mishpucha, consider yourself challenged this Rosh Hashanah. I need you to get a copy of this CD and put it in as many people's hands as you can. This CD will have Jonathan Kahn's message, John Mark Poole's prophecies about America, so specific, and his track. You know, the only thing we can do on a prophet is look at their track record, and we know his track record. And then my friend John McTernan just documents, nails, that because of dividing up the land, two of the worst natural disasters in the history of the United States of America occurred. We're making this special CD available for a donation of $15, and in a few days I'll be in Israel preaching the gospel at a New Age gathering of some 20 to 30,000 Israelis. I desperately need your prayer on that. Please call or write for the special CD on the end times. Donation of $15. Add something extra if you can for evangelism.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.